ॐ सहना भवतु
भवतु सहना भुनक्तु
वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वदं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वदम् कर्पूरगौरं करुणावतारं संसारसारं भुजगेन्द्रहारं सदा वसन्तं हृदयारविन्दे भवं भवानीसहितं नमामि भवं भवानीसहितं नमामि Hari Om. So in this Vedasara Shiva Stotram, last week we had covered the introduction and the first verse where it is said Bhagwan Shiva is Pashunam Patim Papa Nasham. He is the Lord of all beings. Pashu does not mean animals, but all beings. And he destroys sin. Remembering the Lord destroys all our sins. And he is the Paresham. He is beyond even the gods, beyond even the mind or intellect. And he is Varenyam. He is the supreme, the most worshipful, the most beautiful. And he is the Gangadhara. He holds the Gangaji in his jatas. And he is the one Lord alone that is worthy of being worshipped. That is for a Shiva Bhakta, he is the one alone. Also, one alone means that alone exists in the Advaita, that alone exists in this entire universe. So now today we'll start the second verse. Maheshamsure Surarathinasham Vibhum Vishwanatham Vibhutyangabhusham विरूपाक्षमिन्वर्गवन्नीति नेत्रं सदानन्दमीडे प्रभुं पञ्चवक्त्रं सदानन्दमीडे प्रभुं पञ्चवक्त्रम् सो फर्स्ट द फर्स्ट वर्स वाज स्मरामि आई रिमेम्बर बिकॉज इन एनी Sanskrit sentence, you have to first find the verb. So here the verb is ide. Ide means at the last in the last line. Ide means I praise the Lord. So I praise the Lord. Who is this Lord that I praise? So he says first is Mahesham. Mahesham means he is the Maha great Lord, the Ishvara, but of all beings, all the entire universe. Everything, whatever we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think, he is the Lord of all. He is the self of all. And Suresham, what is Sura? Sura are the gods. You know, so in etymology, Sushturati iti Sura. So Sura is the gods are the ones that give, bring goodness to us. And they are always blessing us and भगवान इन द भगवद गीता सेज देवान भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्ति वः परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यथ। He says the devas, when you worship them, they bless you in return. So it is a para, so when we worship them, they get nourished, and when they bless us, so this is a mutual beneficial arrangement. But we consider the god of the devas as Indra. That is who is considered. But here, Bhagwan is even superior to Indra. He is the lord of all devas and the entire all the heavens, everything. And then who are the enemies of the devas? So it is said, it is the word they use is sura arati nashanam. So the ones who give sorrow to the devas, the ones who give sorrow to the good people, are not the na sura. It is called asura. So sura means good, asura means not good. So the demons. And these demons were very, very wicked, but and they were enemies not only of the devas but of all good people. All whatever was good on this earth in heaven, they basically destroyed and captured and took it over. And how did they become so powerful? Because they did lot of tapas. They had the ability to do tapas, and we know Hiranyakashipu and all these, demons had a lot of powers, lot of, Mahishasur and all these Mahishasur and all these demons had a lot of powers. They did a lot of tapas, Kamsa and all that. So Bhagwan is the one that destroys the enemy of these suras, because these are people who are extremely wicked, not only in heaven, in the but in world also. We find there are people who are wicked, whose whole purpose is to dominate others, to trouble others, take their property, take their things, just as asuras, take over heaven and displace Indra and the gods, and then the gods go crying to Bhagwan, and then Bhagwan takes avatar to save them. We find in Hanuman Chalisa also, it says sadhu sant ke tum rakhware Asura Nikandan Rama Dulare. So he says, "Oh Hanumanji, you are the savior of sadhu. You are the protector of all sadhus, all good people." And Asura Nikandan Bhagwan, I mean Hanumanji, had protected the good. And when Bhagwan Ramchandraji needed him, he destroyed a lot of demons in Lanka. So that's what. So and Hanumanji, of course, is an avatar of Lord Shiva. That's what he says. He met Bhagwan Shiva manifested in Hanumanji, and of course Pavan Putra was had also blessed his mother. So Hanumanji had the energy or power of both the Lord of the Wind and Lord Shiva. And also we find in our mind sometimes negative qualities arise. Those are like asuric qualities. When we think of doing something bad, or we think of cheating or hurting or dishonest or angry or jealous, so when these negative qualities arise, then you turn to Bhagwan and he destroys the negative qualities and fills our mind with good qualities. So just as he destroys asuras in heaven, he destroys asuras in our mind. And that's what they say. When you turn to the Lord, you are protected. That's why that famous bhajan, Janaki Nath Sahay Kare, Kaun Bigad Kare Nar Tero. Oh, human being, when the Lord of Janaki, when Bhagwan Sri Ram protects you, then who can do you harm? So that's what the benefit is. That turning to Bhagwan not only removes inner enemies, but outer enemies, both. So we are protected from outer and inner enemies. So that is Bhagwan's glory, Bhagwan's grace. Then it is the next line, he says it is Vibhum. Vibhu means all pervading. So all pervading means there is nowhere where Bhagwan is not. Everything, even the animate objects and the inanimate rocks, stones, pebbles, everywhere Bhagwan is. In every cell of our being, Bhagwan is constantly in our mind. And whatever activities we are doing, it is because of Bhagwan's glory. And Vibhum also means Vividham Bhavati iti Vibhum. Vividham Bhavati means this infinite variety you see. You look at how many different plants are there, how many colors of flowers, how many colors of fish. If you go to that in Australia where the coral reefs are, hundreds of colors of fish. It is unbelievable. All that infinite variety, who creates? The animals, all so unique and different types of animals, some very peculiar appearances. And then not only that, but in humans, it is said that no fingerprint has ever been repeated in history. Even 40,000 years ago, they have found fingerprints in caves, where animals had touched, humans had touched, and never a fingerprint in all these years ever has been repeated. So that beautiful variety, that is Bhagwan. And then it says, Vibhum Vishwanatham. He is the Lord of the universe. But Lord means he has created all of us, but do we all listen to him? See, it's like your child, you have your child and you say, oh, I gave him everything, I brought him up. But when he grows up, does he listen to, forget about grow up, even a 5-year-old, they have their own will, they have their own. So same way, we also don't listen to Bhagwan, even though he's our creator, he is our whatever we have given us. So that is what he says. That is, then he says, Vishwanatham. Another meaning of Vishwanatham is this Vishwa. What is Vishwa? Vishwa, we think of as a static world. We say, okay, the mountains and the stones and plant, but actually everything is moving. Vividham Shayate, everything is moving. That is Vishwam. Look at the planets are moving. The whole galaxies are moving, universes are moving, and there is a constant change happening. It's a very, very dynamic. Even mountain, they look stationary, but they are changing, with the air, with the wind, with the water. So this universe, which is dynamic and constantly changing, he is the Lord of that universe. And all forms, all forms, whatever we see, ultimately, they are nothing but Bhagwan Shiva himself. Not only he is there beyond the forms, but whatever the universe you see, Ashtamurti Brit Deva Pujanam, all of us are made of eight forms, Ashtamurti, space, air, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and ego. Or in the case of the universe, it is saying five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and then the ego, the total ego of the entire universe. So all the eight form is nothing but Bhagwan himself. So that's what we say. That's the Bhagwan I praise. Then the next word is Vibhuti Angabhusham. So his limbs are, what is the bhushan? What is the ornament? What is the decoration? It is Vibhuti. Vibhuti is this, is this rak that Bhagwan puts on himself, and his limbs are covered, and they are like his glories. And we see Vibhuti also means glories. Not only the ash that covers is called Vibhuti, but Bhagwan's glories. That's why the whole 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Vibhuti Yoga, where Bhagwan Shri Krishna tells us that whatever you see glorious in this world, I am.
That's me.
Among mountains, I am Himalayas. Among animals, I am the lion. Among rivers, I am Ganga. So whatever you see glorious, yat yat vibhuti mat sarvam, know that to be a small part of me. So Bhagwan says, I cannot describe all my glories. Arjuna says, I wish to see all your glories, Bhagwan. Bhagwan says, it is impossible for me to describe all my glories. So, because I am infinite, my glories are infinite. But wherever you in the world you see anything beautiful, anything glorious, anything powerful, remember it is my glory. Also, for us, when we do anything that is good or beneficial or helpful to others, think of it as Bhagwan's glory, as Bhagwan's blessings. And that it is because of Bhagwan alone that I am able to do that. So we see here the beautiful poetry, Vibhum Vishwanatham Vibhutyanga Bhusham Virupaksh. So that is called Anuprash in Sanskrit. In English poetry, it is called alliteration, A-L-L-I, alliteration. So beautiful poetry. Again, in the first line, we had seen Pashunam Patim Papanasham Paresham. So Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has excelled in the poetry. Each line has, different poetries. So here, Vibhum Vishwanatham Vibhuti Anga Bhushan, Bhusham. Then the next word is Virupaksha. Virupaksha means one meaning is the Aksha means beautiful eyes. Virupaksha means eyes that are not beautiful because there are two eyes and then there is a third eye. So we think, oh, that is not beautiful. Shankaracharya ji calls it Vishama Akshan. Shama means even. Vishama means odd. So normally we see it even, two eyes, two hands, two legs, and so on. But when we see an odd number, we think it is different. But it is said it is not, Virupa does not mean not beautiful. It means Vishesha, a special third eye that Bhagwan Shiva has. And what is the purpose of Bhagwan's three eyes? He says the main purpose is light, to illumine, prakash. How is the prakash? So he says, Indu Arka Vanni. Indu means the moon, Arka means fire. I mean, sorry, Arka means the sun, and Vanni means fire. So Bhagwan's three eyes are the moon, the sun, and the fire. And as we said, the main purpose of all them is light. But what are the properties of fire, moon, and sun? So fire burns. Even a little, like a spark of fire falls on your skin. You are next to a fireplace, immediately it burns. So fire, even in small quantity, has the property to burn. The sun, even though it is so much more powerful, but because of its distance, the sun's heat and light illumines and warms up the entire cosmos, but does not burn. Sun does not burn. We say, oh, I got sunburn. It's not really a burn like in the fire. It is because of excessive exposure to heat, your skin got, overheated, or you get heat stroke and all that. But sun itself does not have the property to burn, except when you use a magnifying glass. As children, we used to do that. Take magnifying glass and put the sun's light and then focus it on the black paper. It catches fire. But in general, the sun's property is light. So light means we consider as knowledge. So fire is anger. Fire we consider as anger, because it burns, and sun we consider as knowledge, because we say, oh, it's clear to me like daylight. It's so clear to me. I didn't understand it, but now when the guru has explained, it is clear as daylight. And the difference, like when we have a flashlight, you can light it and it will light a small part of the ground as you are walking. But when the sun comes out, instantly the entire earth, the whole cosmos, solar system is all illumined. So sun represents knowledge, sun represents light. Fire represents anger. What does the moon represent? Ah-ha-ha. Guruji says, is the expression, ah-ha-ha. Moonlight is just pure, it is so soothing, It is so cooling. You know, you can keep looking at the moon and you can keep admiring the beauty. The sun, you cannot look more than a few seconds. You'll get burns in your retina. But the moon is represents cooling. And, you know, that is one meaning of the three things. Also, the moon represents love. You know, moon represents love. Sun represents guide, and then the fire represents burning or anger. Talking about love, you know, when you go to India and you see on the trucks, there is a sign. It says, "Dekho magar pyar se," look at me, but look at me with love. So talking about truck, this man was walking along the side of the road in India, and as you know, there is no control of traffic, and this truck guy hit him, and this poor fellow fell on the ground. He was injured, multiple fractures. So they took him to the hospital, and many weeks he had to stay in the hospital. Finally, he got better, and he was brought home, and he was walking and talking and normal, but he looked very sad. He looked very scared. So wife says, "Why are you looking so sad and so scared? You know, you are all healed up. You are already home and you are walking and you are back to normal." He says, No. You know what the truck that hit me? You know what it said on the back of the truck?" She says, "What?" "It says, it said, agar hum zinda rahe to phir milenge." She says, "If I am alive, we will meet again." So he said, "That's what I'm worried. Okay, where will the truck come?" So you have to meet with love. So they said, "Dekho to pyar se dekho." The sun represents knowledge, represents instruction. So Guruji gives a very beautiful example of Gurudev. So he says that this was in the early 60s when he had just joined the ashram, had become a brahmachari, and he used to accompany Gurudev on his travels. So Gurudev came to the US and Guruji came with him. And in those days, tennis was very unknown sport. Very few people played tennis. It was hardly on TV, you know, and so not many people had seen TV, and Guruji had not. So they were in somebody's house in the US, and on the black and white TV, there was a tennis match going on in that city. So Gurudev was watching. So Guruji said, "What is this love and 15 love and lines? What all?" So Gurudev very patiently spent so much time explaining to Guruji in detail what tennis was, what are the rules. So Guruji said, "That's where I saw that even the smallest detail, Gurudev could explain, you know, most beautifully, not only Vedanta or philosophy." So he had the patience to teach. And we find even in judges, they have to have three eyes. Judges. So just say, what kind of three eyes? First eye is the eye of what do you call it? Control. You know, where punishment. So the eye of punishment when somebody has done wrong. So that is the eye of fire. Then the second eye is of compassion, where suppose that person has done wrong, but there are certain factors which can go in his favor. So the ability to reduce the punishment or even give it away when if there is a justification, that is the eye of compassion. So one eye of punishment, one of compassion, and the third eye is the wisdom to know the difference. If you keep, you know, giving compassion to everybody and forgiving everyone, then, you know, criminals will run amok. So the ability to discriminate where I should use compassion and where I should use punishment. So those are the three eyes of judgment. And so Bhagwan also is the karma phaladata, and he has all three. He has the eye, and we'll talk more in the five faces of Bhagwan. So that is compassion, wisdom, and correction. So correction, compassion, and wisdom, those are his three eyes. Then he says, Sadanandam ire. Sadanandam ire. Prabhu Panchavaktram.
Prabhu.
So who is Prabhu? She says Prabhu is the one kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. Kartum means, Prabhu means one who is capable of doing, undoing, or doing something different. So Bhagwan has the total power, the total ability to do as he wishes. And that's how, you know, this whole universe is run, because of Bhagwan's grace and Bhagwan's discipline. And discipline, he does not have any, you know, punishment. He's a karma phaladatta. So he gives us the result of our karmas, and that's how he disciplines all of us. Then Sadanand, that is the next verse. Sadanandam ide Prabhu Panchavaktram. Sadanand. Sada Anand means Sada Anand. So Sadanand is a beautiful name of Bhagwan. It can be split in different ways. So one is Sat plus Anand becomes Sadanand. So Sat means existence, Anand means infinitude, bliss. So Sat Chit Anand, and he is sentient. So Bhagwan is Sat Chit Anand Swarup. That is one meaning of Sadanand, that he is the existence, consciousness, infinitude. Second meaning of Sadanand is always blissful,
Yes.
always happy. Bhagwan is always in bliss. He's that's why you see Bhagwan Krishna. Do you ever see him crying? No, always smiling, always happy, always joking. So Bhagwan is like that. What is our case? You know, who are we? So are we Sadanand? No, he says we are Kadanand. When will I be happy? You know, Kadanand. Then another person says, Yadanand. When this same thing happens, then I'll be happy. Vishayanam anukulayet. When all things are fine, all circumstances are good, everything is good. That never happens. You know, one thing is okay, second thing is not. You say, oh, nine things are good, but the tenth thing is not. So that's why we say Kadanand, when will I be happy? Third one says Yada Kadanand, once in a while I'm happy. So we are time from sometime happy, sometime not happy. But Bhagwan and the enlightened master who has become one with Bhagwan, those two are ever blissful. So that is the glory of these realized masters, that they are ever blissful because they are ever in contact with Bhagwan. Then it says Panchavaktram, five faces. You say, kaha, I have never seen Bhagwan Shiva with five faces or five mouths. Vaktra can be mouth or can be face. You say, I haven't seen him with five mouths, or I haven't seen him with five faces. Where are the five faces? And what is again this odd number? From where this five number came. So what is the glory of the mouth? The speciality of the mouth is it can talk and eat both. So each one of us has the ability, the mouth can do both. But what is the main purpose of the mouth? So there is a beautiful bhajan, Neeru had sung that, Kamala Mukha Rama Bhajan Ko Diya. He says, you have been given this beautiful mouth. What is the purpose of that? Rama Bhajan. That is the main purpose of having a mouth. It's not to eat, to enjoy, or to talk here and there, you know, gossip. The main purpose of my mouth is I have to praise Bhagwan, sing his glories, and chant the name of the Lord. So that is the main purpose of giving mouth. Oh, then also face. You know, people say, don't look at my face, look at my Facebook. They are more interested in and how many likes they get. Every day they put some picture and they say, how many people liked? Okay, if he liked me, then I'm going to like his post. If he didn't like, then he's out. So all the time. So here it says the face is Bhagwan has five faces or five aspects. So what are the five aspects of Bhagwan? So they say that Bhagwan has five main functions. Srishti, Sthiti, Laya. Srishti means creation, Sthiti means sustenance, and Laya means dissolution. We say, well, we thought it was Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. They say, yes. But Shiva is superior. He's higher than all. See, that's what happens. Like in Shiv Puran, Shivji is considered supreme.
Vishnu.
In Vishnu Puran, Vishnu Bhagwan is supreme. In Devi Puran, Devi is. So for a person, his Ishta Devta is the highest. So here, Bhagwan Shiva is a controller of Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, of creation, sustenance, and dissolution or destruction. Again, dissolution or destruction is not a negative thing that he is destroying the world. It is recycling. Like there is a flower, when it destroys, it becomes a fruit. Then when the fruit is eaten, what
Seed.
remains is the seed. Then when the seed is planted, the seed gets destroyed, but a plant and a tree comes out, then from the tree. So there is a constant cycle. So everything, an old building is broken and they make a new skyscraper. So even same way, when a person's life is over, his karmas are over, Bhagwan takes that person, and that's how the world becomes ready for new people. Otherwise, if all our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents were still alive, there would be no place for any of us. So Laya is a recycling. And this Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh represent Rajas, Sattva, and Tamas. So for creation, you need Rajas. For maintenance, you need
Rajas.
Sattva. And for dissolution, you need energy, and that is Tamas. So the three aspects are creation, sustenance, dissolution. What is the fourth aspect? And that is the Rudra. Lord Shiva has a form called Rudra Swarup. Rudra means for nigraha, for control. So when we go out of hand, when things are going out of hand, he controls us either by, the conscience telling us do this, don't do this, or ultimately by karma phalas. So nigraha is the fourth control. Some people, instead of nigraha in Shiv Puran, it is said it is tirobhava. Tirobhava means when the prana has to leave the body. Prana leaves through the eyes, nose, ears, through some orifice, and only the realized masters leave from the top of the head. So when the prana is leaving, then Lord Shiva is the he is the gives the energy for the prana to leave, or he is the Rudra Roop. And what about the fifth one? Four. So we say the four mouths represent the four directions: east, west, north, and south. The fifth one represent looking inward. So we also in the world are all busy in looking in all the four directions. Very rare is the person who looks inward. And what is this inward looking eye of Bhagwan? It is the eye of compassion, eye of grace, and the eye of moksha, that which gives moksha. So all the gods have all the other powers to create, like Indra has the power to give rain. And the Varun Devta has power over water and all those. But Bhagwan says moksha or compassion is only with me. So the Supreme Lord has the ability to give us enlightenment, give us moksha. So the compassion, like in India, there are various awards. For example, there is sports awards. And then there is Veer Chakra, Param Veer Chakra, various awards for people doing well in sports or scientists doing research. There are various awards, but there are some special awards, Bharat Ratna, Bharat Ratna, those kind of awards only the president can give. So that is what. So same way, Bhagwan says the power to for moksha, for grace, that is only with me. And that is what, so these are the five aspects of Bhagwan: creation, sustenance, dissolution, and nigraha, and create and the for forgiveness and grace and moksha. Now we'll do number three. Girisham
Girisham
Ganesham Gale
Gale Neelavarnam
Neelavarnam गवेन्द्रादिरूढं गुणातीतरूपं भवं भास्वरं भस्मनाभूषिताङ्गं भवानीकलत्रं भजे पञ्चवक्त्रं भवानीकलत्रं भजे पञ्चवक्त्रम्। सो अगेन सी गिरीशं गणेशं गले नीलवर्णं गवेन्द्रादिरूढं गुणातीतरूपं, ब्यूटिफुल पोएट्री वेर् ग इस् यूस्ड् एण्ड् ईच् ग हेस् डिफ्रेण्ट् वर्ड्स्। सो दिस् ब्यूटिफुल् आफ् पोएट्री आफ् भगवान् शङ्कराचार्यजी। सो गिरि ईशं, सो गिरि मीन्स् मौण्टेन्, सो भगवान् शिव इस् द लार्ड् आफ् आल् मौण्टेन्स्, एण्ड् गिरि आल्सो मीन्स् स्पीच्, सो ही इस् द लार्ड् आफ् स्पीच्, एण्ड् इट् इस् सेड् अमाङ्ग् आल् द मौण्टेन्स् द हिमालयस् आर् सपोस् टु बि द हायेस्ट्, एण्ड् अमाङ्ग् देम् कैलाश् इस् वेर् भगवान् शिव लिव्स्। सो दिस् इस् आल् मौण्टेन्स्, एव्रिथिङ्ग् गेट्स् डिस्ट्रोय्ड् एट् द टैम् आफ् प्रलय, बट् कैलाश् अलोन् रिमेन्स्, कैलाश् नेवर् गेट्स् डिस्ट्रोय्ड्, देट् इस् दि इटर्नल् मौण्टेन्. Now, one point I'd like to make before I go ahead with this shloka, we see that in the first shloka, it says, Smarami, I remember the Lord. In the second one, it says, Ide. Ide means I praise the Lord. And in the third one, it says, Bhaje. Bhaje means I worship the Lord. So, how do I remember him? With the mind. How do I praise him? With the speech. And how do I worship him? With my body. So we have three equipments, the body, speech, and mind. So with all three, that's why Raman Maharishiji in his Upadesh Sar, I think some of you are doing going to do Upadesh Sar with Sudhaji. So he says, Kaya Vang Mana Karyam Uttamam Pujanam Japash Chintanam Kramat. So kaya, vak, and mana. Kaya means body, vak means speech, and mind means, mana means mind. So with the body, I worship God. With the mind, with the speech, I praise him and sing his glories and chant the name of the Lord. So serving the God, worshiping, praising, and doing chanting. And with the mind, I contemplate, I meditate. So all my three equipments, my body, my speech, and my mind should be engaged with Bhagwan. And when I connect with Bhagwan, then I am blessed. So that is the, so that's why three equipment, three different smarami, then ide, and then bhaje. Bhaje means I worship with the body. So now we're talking about the mountains. So all the mountains are created by him. Not only that, but all cosmos is. He is the Lord of all. They say countless cosmoses are there. So we only know this one cosmos that is ours, that is trillions of miles long. But they say there are so many that they can't be counted. And Bhagwan is the Lord of all cosmoses. And then the next one is Ganesham. Girisham, Ganesham. Ganesha, of course, one is the Lord of the Ganas. Bhagwan Ganesha is called the Lord of the Ganas. Who are the Ganas? Ganas are the Sevaks, the one who do Lord's work, and they accompany. And all of them, like Brahmaji has his, you know, servants, Sevaks. Vishnu Bhagwan has his. Yamraj has his, you know, whom he sends to. And so, but Bhagwan Shiva's, all of them have very beautiful and good looking, you know, sevaks. But Lord Shiva, his sevaks are all unique. When we covered Shiv Gita and Ramayana, they describe how some of his ganas, the eyes were in the back of the head, and the face was in the chest, and all hands, you know, odd hands, legs. So Bhagwan Shiva does not reject anybody. Whoever comes to him, no matter how, you know, out of shape or he is, he accepts all. He's very compassionate and he accepts everybody. Ganas, and so all properties also. There are some Sattvic Ganas, Rajasic Ganas, Tamasic Ganas. all of them, are there. And some of the famous ones are Nandi, Patanjali. Those are some of the famous ganas of. So Nandi, the bull, is also one of his ganas. Ganas also means to count. So what it means is that all counting, all calculation, everything, the Lord is in charge. So whatever we can add or count or subtract, Bhagwan is behind all that. And Gavendra, and then he says, Gale Nila Varnam. Now this Nila Varnam, this blue-eyed, everybody knows the story where there was this churning of the ocean, and in the beginning, this terrible poison called Halahal came out. This poison was so bad that it didn't even have to swallow it. Even the smell of it would have killed everybody. That's how powerful it was. And then Bhagwan Shiva, out of compassion, swallowed it, and he kept it in his neck, or some people say Parvati ji held his neck. So the poison stayed in the neck. So what it means is the poison did not affect Bhagwan go inside, nor did he let it out to affect the whole world. If he had let it out, the whole world would have been destroyed. And so he kept it. So same way for you and me, if we have any anger or bitterness, we should not let it poison ourselves and not let the bitterness spread to the world. Keep it in the neck. So neck represents that if any anger, bitterness you have, keep it, but do not let it affect you internally, and do not spread this anger, this bitterness to all. So he is the very, very compassionate Lord. Then it is said, out of compassion, he swallowed the poison. Then he says, Gavendra Adi Rudham. Gava means Nandi. And Nandi, he says, Gavendra Adi Rudham. He's always ready. Nandi is always ready. He's lying there in front of Lord Shiva, just waiting when Lord Shiva needs to go anywhere, and he's ready to take him. So he's always ready. He's one of his ganas. Nandi also represents dharma. So what do we mean by dharma? So he says, like, if you want Bhagwan to be with you, you first have to practice dharma. Practice right conduct, right behavior, then Bhagwan will manifest to us. So that is what he said, that we should always practice dharma, and then Bhagwan will appear, Bhagwan will come. So we cannot say, I'm going to live a life, a dharmic life of doing wrong things all the time, and expect Bhagwan to be pleased with us. Then he says, Gunatita. Gunatita means he's beyond gunas. That's why Arjun, in the 14th chapter, after Bhagwan talks about the three gunas, he says, what are the qualities of a Gunatita? One who has gone beyond tamas, rajas, and sattva. So Bhagwan describes the qualities of Gunatita in the 14th chapter. So what it means is, as even Swami Aparajitananda ji told us, that from tamas we go to rajas. If you have tamas, change it to rajas. If you have rajas, go to sattva, purity. So from laziness you go to activity, to purity. Then stay in sattva as much as possible all the time. And then Bhagwan's job is to take us beyond sattva to his own abode. So he is Gunatit, he's beyond the three gunas, and only with Bhagwan's blessings we can go beyond the three gunas. Then Bhavam, Bhavam, Bhava is another beautiful name of Bhagwan. Bhava has very many meanings. One is Bhava means Bhavam, to create. Bhavati Yasmat Sarvam, from whom this whole universe came. Bhavati means it becomes. So all this universe creator is Bhagwan, and Bhava also means pure being, existence. Bhavasagar mein, we say I'm in this Bhavasagar, in this ocean of drowning, but Bhava also means to be. So being or existing, that's why we say in meditation, don't just be. Don't try to become something, but just be. So that being, that existence is Bhagwan Shiva. Then Bhaswaram. Bhaswaram means shining illumine. So illumination represents life, you know, that the life, you know, they say the illumine. So all our senses are illumined, our mind is illumined by that consciousness, and also means knowledge. So knowledge, life principle, that is Bhagwan. Then Bhavani Kalatram, no, that,
Bhavani Kala,
no, then
Bhushitanga,
Bhushitangam
Bhasmana
means
Bhushitanga,
Bhasma.
Bhasma
That
is
Bhasma is Bhushitangam, and Bhasma we have talked about briefly, but Bhasma is the one that when Bhagwan applies, it shines, his whole body shines. So Bhasma is the one that has all the blessedness. That's why when we, after Shiv Puja, you get that
Bhasma.
Bhasma, you put it on the forehead. So that is Bhagwan's blessings. Also, it is said that in cold places, when they apply Bhasma on the body, the person does not feel cold, he feels protected. And Bhasma, that Bhavam, Bhaswaram is the illumining, Bhasmana, Bhushitangam. So, as we said, it protects the body. And also, what Bhasma represents, the burning of karmas. So, by worshipping the Lord, all your karmas, not only papas, but your punyas also get burnt away. They say, no, I want to keep my punyas. I don't want my punyas to burn. They say, then if you have punyas, then you have to take another birth to enjoy the, you have to
Correct.
go to heaven to enjoy the punyas and then take another birth. So they say a wise person goes beyond pap and punya both. He says all both of them belong to the ego, so he goes beyond. So worshipping the Lord takes us beyond papa and punya. Then bhasma has another quality called kshara. Kshara means it destroys all difficulties in our life. You know, all the difficulties. So that's why bhasma has all these qualities. Then has the quality of raksha. Raksha means protection. So the power of the Lord, you know, that's why there is this Ram Raksha Stotram.
Stotram.
By chanting that, you get the blessings of Bhagwan Sri Ram. So this bhasma has the quality of that. And Bhagwan Shiva not only takes bhasma from everywhere, but even from cremation grounds, suggests representing that he is the protector of all. And even cremation, also what it means is Bhagwan is beyond body identification. Because if he can go to a cremation ground and take that, then so you and I, we get scared of cremation ground, but Bhagwan is beyond body identification. And then Bhavani Kalatram. Kalatram means wife. Dosha Trayati or Kala Trayati Iti Kalatram. That who protects you from dosha, from wrong things happening, that is the name of the wife. That is the meaning of Kalatram. And she protects us from impurity. That's why they say wife is needed to keep the husband straight. Ko seedha rakhne ke liye. So that is the quality of Kalatram. So, and then same way, Bhagwan has Ardhanarishwar, where he has half male, half Lord Shiva, and half Parvati, showing that all male and female are both equal. They are all, both are in him, and there is nothing to distinguish them. So we'll end here because this other one, Panchavaktram of the end of number three, is a Vedic term and has a lot of meanings. Lot of
You can
Sanskrit and a
tell,
lot of meanings,
no?
huh?
You can tell.
No, we don't have time, and there is a lot more to cover in
Oh.
that. So we'll start with that next time, and then with shloka number
4 and 5.
4 and 5 we'll do next week. So Panchavaktram is quite involved, so I thought we won't cover it today at the end. We don't have that much time. So we'll do
Then
that next
10
week.
minutes, yeah, people can
Yeah,
ask.
so people can ask questions if anybody has any
You go
questions,
ahead.
comments. Anything about, but mainly this is to see the glory of Bhagwan Shiva, and by remembering the Lord, no matter which
Survive
form,
the
no matter which form of the Lord you remember, your mind gets purified. So that is the benefit of chanting this shlokas, remembering them, sharing them, because the more you think of Bhagwan, the more you feel his presence with you at all times. And even Swami Aparajitananda ji told us that again and again, remind yourself that God is doing everything. I am not doing anything. So the more you remember, the more it becomes automatic that Bhagwan is the doer and I am a nobody. So that was one of his very powerful message. So that is the purpose of, that's why we are trying to, like we just finished an Upanishad. So do a knowledge text and then do a bhakti text to kind of balance it and to keep our mind from that. So and after this, I'll be doing Vakya Vritti, which is the Mahavakyas. So trying to alternate the texts as much as I can. So we will end here. We have a few, auntie, boliye.
And shloka number two, it says sun gives knowledge.
Yes.
And how sun gives us knowledge? I didn't get it.
No, sun represents light. And light means knowledge. You know, like they say, oh, I'm in the dark. I don't understand. And then somebody explains, you say, oh, now it is clear as daylight. So light represents knowledge. The sun does not give. Sun gives us heat and nourishes the universe, but the light represents knowledge. You say, oh, I'm in the ignored darkness of ignorance. I don't understand. And when teacher explains, you say, oh, now it is clear.
Yeah.
So that
it is clear and given me light. Thank you.
Thank you, auntie.
That way light.
That way light.
Even the presiding deity of eyes is sun god.
The presiding deity of eyes is Surya Bhagwan. So that's because light represents knowledge. So Surya Bhagwan is the deity of the eyes. Just as you know, of the ears, it are in the five directions and so on. So Surya is the, and moon is the deity of the mind, like that. Any other questions, comments?
Yes, so if a criminal does criminal activities, is it still considered Bhagwan doing it?
Yes, Bhagwan is, without Bhagwan's presence, he wouldn't be able to do anything criminal. So Bhagwan gives the energy, then it is up to us. The human has the choice to use the energy to do good or to do evil. Like, you know, nuclear energy is there. Now we can use nuclear energy to cure cancer, or we can use nuclear energy
to
destroy a city. So nuclear energy is not at fault. If millions of people die, it is how we misuse. So same way, Bhagwan has given us the ability, the energy. If we use it well, that is punya. If we use it do bad, that is papa. So Bhagwan is not the doer, but Bhagwan is the giver of energy. And then humans are the only animals that have a choice whether to do good or bad. A lion, you know, cannot say from tomorrow I'll become a vegetarian lion and I won't eat any animals. I'll only eat leaves. He won't do that because that is his nature. But humans have the ability to choose what to eat, what to do, how to think, how to speak, what kind of things to watch on the phone, on the internet. So,
thank
does that
you.
answer your question?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was a simple question, but yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lata, go ahead.
Gavendra di Rudam. Gava, you did indicate as Nandi. Adi Rudam. Can you expand on that, please?
Rudam, Arudam means climbing. So he is always on. Gavendra means the lord of all the ganas. He is, that is Nandi. He is always Arudam. He's climbing on that. You know, Aru Rukshur Maner Yogam. We just read in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Arudasya Tasya karma karanam shama karanam uchyate. So
Okay.
arudham means the one who is always climbing on, riding.
Okay. Arudam,
Arudham.
climbing on the Nandi,
Yeah,
one
like
who.
horse riding. You know, Bhagwan in this sixth chapter, this Sunday only we did that shloka. Arudham
Okay.
Munir yogam karma karan uchyate. Yoga arudhasya tasyaiva shama karanam uchyate. So to
Oh.
climb on the yoga, you need karma yoga, and then after that you need shama, quiet. So arudha means to climb.
Okay, to climb.
Gavendra adi rudham. So Gavendra,
You
etc.
know, at Mahakaleshwar, one of the Jyotirlingas,
Yes.
they do the early Bhasma Aarti in the morning around 4 o'clock or so. So they do bring some ashes from the cremation ground
Yes.
and mix it with the other ashes, and they sprinkle it on the Shivalingam and create the beautiful designs, patterns on it.
Yeah, we saw
Uh,
it.
it's one of those beautiful scene one has to go and see it and experience it. And then a few hours later, they wash it off and then start all over again.
Oh, lovely.
That's one of the tradition at Mahakaleshwar, that get some ashes from the cremation ground.
Yeah.
Bhasma.
Basma, right, Basma. In fact, ashes also have the quality of polishing. That's why they say don't throw away the ashes from your agarbatti, because ashes can polish silver.
India में भी तो राख यूज करते हैं टू वॉश द बर्तन एंड ऑल
Wash
दैट.
the bartan, they use rakh and all.
राइट.
When you have silver vessels that have rusted, if you use ash, you can polish it. So
I
ash
see.
has the quality of
Purity.
also being able to polish.
Right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Sharad, you have anything? No? Okay. All right, we'll end here. We'll see you next week, and we'll continue.
This evening we have that.
And this evening we have
Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam,
Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam by Guruji. So we are
Yeah.
on doing Krishna avatar.
Seven
So
thirty.
7:30 to 8:30, 8:45. We are is Krishna avatar. Very beautifully, Guruji explains all the
Okay.
incidents. So it's the same link. So please log in. Very nicely, what do you call, each action of Bhagavan Krishna, how beautifully Guruji explains. It's very wonderful to listen. So if you have a chance, please log in. We'll see you this evening at 7:30. And then Wednesday, Thursday, our regular study groups will resume. So yes, Sharad, the Thursday study group also is on, right? Yeah. Okay, so we'll end here. We'll do so. Om Namah Shivaya. Let's do Om. Om Namah Shivaya. 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 Om Har Har Namah Parvati Pataye Har Har Mahadev. Shri Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम थैंक यू सो मच हरि ओम